And good morning, Bruce.
And good morning, Cora. And good morning, listeners. Wonderful to be back here sitting at the desk in the studios at Yarra Valley FM after, well, I'm embarrassed to say, after 6 weeks away. It's the 1st of July. We've passed the shortest day last week. And for all of you accountants and bookkeepers out there, the financial year starts all over again. And for you small businesses and, well, for the people who are out in the valley pruning vines, that's starting all over again as the cycle of the season, the new vintage 2021-22 gets underway. It's been a tough 6 weeks, hasn't it? And so much has happened. Most of us that are listening today have been through a once-in-a-100-year storm. We've got this COVID thing still happening all over the place, and it's tough times. I don't know what you've been doing for the last 6 weeks. I'm sure that COVID is very much a part of whatever it is that you're doing. Perhaps like myself, you've had the power out for a few days. While I was away, I lost all my food in the fridge and the freezer and all of that. And I'm sure some of you can identify with that. It's school holidays. Parents, kids, if there's any kids listening this morning, you've got a couple of weeks in the middle of winter, but you probably can't go anywhere, so that's tough too, isn't it? Well, you can go to places in Victoria, and I heard a lot of you went and saw the penguins the other day. That's fantastic. This morning, before I introduce her, we try to bring you interesting people, people who are doing, well, perhaps more interesting things than those of us who are locked down, travelling around the country, all the way from Kalgoorlie. I can't remember a time where we've ever had a guest from Kalgoorlie here on the show, zooming into us. And look, I have to admit this morning, I am taking a bit of a risk here. Risks are, well, are they to be taken or not? Risks are something that are very much a part of our lives. And are they a good thing? Are they a necessary thing? Are a few risks okay? Is it all right to be a little bit adventurous and to travel the country or something? I wonder who my new guest is going to be. Look, I'm going to introduce her straight after this first song, which is stuck in the middle with you, perhaps stuck with COVID somewhere.
Smile from my face, losing control, yeah, I'm all over the place. Clowns to the left of me, jokers to the right, here I am, stuck in the middle with you. When you started out with nothing, hang up out of your assembly man, and your fans, they all come calling, slap you on the back and say, we'll be right back.
And you're with Bruce Argyle. I'm back. You're with me on our favourite Thursday morning community conversations program. Thanks for joining us this morning. And I've already flagged that I'm taking a bit of a risk this morning. And the smart ones that are listening this morning will have figured out that in my warped sense of humour, that means we're going to be talking about risk, about managing risks. And you are exactly right. And, well, risks are very much a part of our lives, our day-to-day lives. And someone who knows a lot about risk-taking, and I'm wondering even whether risk-taking sometimes goes very closely hand-in-hand with being adventurous and getting out there. And I know no one who's more adventurous than Megan Buntine. Megan, all the way from Kalgoorlie, good morning.
Good morning, Bruce. How are you today? Welcome back.
Thank you so much, Megan, and I know you should be heading back, but you are, as I believe, currently locked down in Kalgoorlie because you can't get into South Australia because of the COVID lockdown.
Yeah, that's correct. We're locked out rather than locked down. we were supposed to cross the border into South Australia yesterday, but they've closed it to people coming from WA, so we're just cooling our heels here until that situation changes, I guess.
Yes. Megan, I reckon you would be a strong candidate for the COVID stories book that should be written about the changing times of us Australians and New Zealanders in the times of COVID.
Yeah, I think, you know, I was reflecting the other day when we got to Kalgoorlie, and I think we were all saying last year that pivot was the word of the year. Well, I think pivot's going to be the word of the year for this year as well, hopefully to a lesser degree, but I think it's still going to be there. And I think that that sort of, you know, fits in with what you're saying about risk this morning.
Yes, and I was reflecting on it as I was driving into the studio this morning, Megan, and, you know, risk is something that we do have to manage. I mean, if we were so risk-averse, in other words, we were willing to tolerate no risk at all, we would do absolutely nothing because we wouldn't get in our car and drive on the road knowing that there is a risk, you know, anytime we hop in a car, etc. So if we were to live lives that had no risk at all, we actually wouldn't do anything.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, that's sort of a really interesting point. When I worked in the disability sector, we used to talk about this thing called the dignity of risk. And it's all about acknowledging that in life, you know, you grow and you have experiences because you take risks, you push your boundaries, and you're continually sort of stretching those things. And particularly with the people that we support who have disabilities, how do we support them to be able to take, informed risks? So they're putting supports around them so that when they do take those risks, they're minimising the chance that something will go wrong, but they're having that experience that enables them to learn and grow, because all too often we tend to wrap people up in cotton wool and don't let them do things if we think they're a bit vulnerable and they could be hurt as a result.
Mm. Yeah, that's very, very insightful. Now, we want to focus this morning, listeners, on organisational risk, on risks that go with your group, your community organisation, your not-for-profit, and Megan has amazing experience in this space, and I should flag right now, you can go onto her website and have a look at some of the free resources and things on there, which is just www.mjbconsulting.net.au. By all means, have a look on there. And if you want a copy of the program this morning, it will be podcast for you. You can have another listen as well. Megan, they say behind every successful business is a brave decision. Behind every successful business is a brave decision. Someone who has stepped out and done something that was, in effect, risky, taking a risk. You know, that there was a big decision there, putting some money on the line, making this, putting your name out there like we're going to try and sell something or do something. And would you agree with that?
Oh, for sure. And I think often too there's personal risk because at many times, I know from personal experience on a couple of occasions, you know, it means stepping away from a good, secure job and taking that leap of faith to go out on your own, do your own thing. And I think the same for community organisations too. You know, if you're passionate about a particular topic or area or something, and you decide to bring people together in your community to set up a group to do that thing, whatever it may be, you know, Tiddlywinks Club or Toastmasters Club or Landcare Group, whatever. You know, you're putting yourself out there. You're taking a risk that, you know, is this going to fly? Are people going to get on board with this? So, there's a lot of work that goes into setting up a new organisation. So to invest that time and that money, and often it's your volunteer time, you know, it's taking a risk in itself, isn't it?
Sure is. Listeners, we're going to come right back, and we're going to talk about people risks and property risks and financial risks and external risks, and how do we manage those on behalf of our organisation, on behalf of our community group. So watch this space and let's have a listen to Uncle Cracker.
You don't know how you met me, you don't know why you can't turn around and say goodbye. All you know is when I'm with you, I make you free and swim through your veins like a fish in the sea. I'm singing, follow me, everything is alright. I'll be the one to tuck you in at night. And if you want to leave, I can guarantee you won't find nobody else like me. I'm not worried about the ring you wear, 'cause as long as no one knows, then nobody can care. You're feeling guilty and I'm well aware, but you don't look ashamed, and baby, I'm not scared. I'm singing, follow me, everything is alright. I'll be the one to tuck you in at night. And if you want to leave, I can guarantee you won't find nobody else like.
And you're with Bruce Argyle here on Community Conversations. Wonderful to have your company this morning. I'm speaking with Megan. We're talking about managing risks and just how do we do that? How do we mitigate risks? How do we well, manage them in a way or the best possible way that we can. And Megan, perhaps the first question is, in the light of the, you know, the recent storms, the challenges of COVID at the moment, the myriad of other things that can happen, what are the most common things that would go wrong from a risk perspective for not-for-profit organisations and for community groups, in your view?
Look, I mean, there's a whole range of things, isn't there, that could go wrong for community groups. But I just thought, sort of in the light of, as you say, the recent storms and the lockdowns and these sorts of things, you know, what are some of the key risks that come out of those sort of experiences? And I guess the things that sort of occurred to me when I thought about that was very much around, you know, what are the short-term risks when something like that happens? You know, for example, the recent storms which devastated so much of the area. The immediate risks are, you know, how do we keep functioning, or do we keep functioning while we're waiting for our key infrastructure or our services to be restored? So I think, you know, Yarra Valley FM is a great example of that, because, you know, listeners would probably know that the power went down for a number of days there, and the station wasn't able to broadcast. So, you know, how do you manage around that? How do you put some things into place pretty quickly to be able to get that back up and running, particularly given that emergency sort of support role of an organisation like Yarra Valley FM? You know, and it really helps all these things, whether it's those short-term risks or whether it's about looking after your people. I think that's probably another big thing you need to think about, you know, particularly for volunteer organisations. You're so contingent on the goodwill of the volunteers that support your organisation. So how in turn do you support them to be able to cope through times like this? So, you know, I think, like everything, the best way to deal with risk is to plan for it, to do things in advance, to set yourself up to be best positioned, that if, you know, if the worst does happen, that you've thought about what some of the things could be that come out of that. You've thought about how you could position yourself well to mitigate those risks. So when I say mitigate, it's just basically what do we do to minimise or to control what could go wrong and how bad it could be if it did go wrong.
And so, Megan, talking as you just did about the recent storms, I went in yesterday into a store, and there's huge interest in generators, for example. You know, people are obviously thinking about the next storm. And I mean, there's a good example, isn't it, of trying to mitigate or trying to think about what's going to put me in a better position, if I get another storm come along.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I've had that personal experience myself where we were thinking for years, oh, we must go and get a generator. Well, it wasn't until we were without power for a number of days after a big storm about 15 years ago. I was like, yep, we need to go and do that now. So,
yes.
And look, I think if you look at, you know, the vaccine rollout in Australia at the moment for COVID, that's another example. Things are getting, you know, more challenging at the moment. So it seems that a number more, well, certainly anecdotally, the people I'm speaking to, a number of people who are going, yep, I've been putting it off and putting it off, but now I'm going to go and do it. So, you know, people are sort of doing that as a strategy to minimise the impact. Well, hopefully the likelihood that they'll get the disease, but also the impact if they were to get it, how serious it would be.
Yeah, no, that's absolutely right. And even, I mean, we've been talking about physical things, but of course we also are thinking about things like education and training in terms of resourcing people, aren't we, Megan, you know, to be better equipped to cope with emergencies, whether that's, you know, CPR or whether it's, the use of defibrillator machines or whatever it is.
Yes, all those sorts of things. And I think, you know, just getting people into a mindset of things will happen, things that you don't expect will happen, and how do you do that business continuity planning or crisis management planning so that you, again, it comes back to the planning, doesn't it? You think about what might happen and how you're going to minimise the impact of that. And that's just really, that's what risk management's all about.
I've got a list of four things, as I flagged just before our last song, Megan, that I thought we'd just focus on just for a moment. So people, property, finances and external. So let's just talk about people. What are the main risks in terms of people? Are we talking about reputational risks? Are we talking about succession planning? When we talk about people risks, what do we usually mean?
Look, I think it can be a whole myriad of things, and I think it's potentially different for different organisations too. You know, obviously there's going to be a lot of things that do that are similar between different organisations, but you really need to sit down and analyse your particular situation. So it could be a case of, as you said, do people have adequate training? Are people, you know, we talk a lot more, I think, these days about the impacts of disasters and their negative situations on mental health. So how we supporting people around that sort of stuff. It's about building resilience, about helping people to manage in difficult times. You know, how do we check in with our, whether they're paid people or volunteers, you know, how do we check in with people? I think last year with so many people working from home, that really brought this home, I think, for supervisors and managers and employers. It's so important to, whilst you're not in the same physical space together, to be checking in more regularly with people, particularly in a difficult time like that. You know, how are you going? You know, how's things? One of the CEOs that I do a bit of work for, you know, she was having Friday afternoon Zoom drinks with her team, so which was great because nobody had to drive home. So, you know, thinking outside of the square about how can we bring new strategies into what we do. It's constantly a work in progress, and like everything, you're constantly reviewing and tweaking, and you know, sort of fixing things around the edges and coming up with new ideas. And part of risk management, like anything else, health and safety, whatever, is getting the people who are involved to be a part of the solution as well. You know,
yes.
Encouraging people to, if you see an issue, let me know or let us know, and let's problem solve how we're going to resolve this or mitigate this together. Because all of your team will have great ideas, and they'll have ideas that you won't think of. So getting them to bring those to the table as well, and it just adds to the, you know, the betterment, I guess, of the solutions you come up with.
Terrific. Let's talk about the second one, which is property. I'll say broadly, property and equipment. You've already given a great example with Yarra Valley FM recently, but property. I'm thinking of landlords who perhaps we've got a lease and it might not be renewed, or whatever. What are your thoughts around that, Megan, in terms of mitigating risks with things, you know, with property, equipment, and so on?
Yeah, I guess, again, it's the case of sitting down and doing some forward planning and analysing, well, what is it around this particular property or our assets or our equipment or whatever it is that's critical to us being able to do what it is that we do to add value to our community? How do we protect those things? And, you know, it's funny, oftentimes when I talk to people about risk management, and I see people glaze over all the time, and that's okay, but you know, I'll say to people, so what are you doing in your risk management space? And they'll just sort of simply nod to me and say, oh, we've got insurance. It's like, no, that's not risk management. That's what you have in place in case all of your best work around your risk management, something still gets through, something still fails, and something still happens.
That is a great comment you've just made, Megan. I've never seen it that way, but that's a terrific way of looking at it.
Yeah, and in fact, if that's all you think you're doing in terms of risk management, if you think insurance is it, you'll probably find that, in fact, you don't have insurance, because you'll probably find that you've voided the terms and conditions of your insurance, because part of that will say that you need to do responsible risk management and, you know, do everything that's reasonably possible to protect your assets in the first place.
Yes, absolutely. Look, we'll have another song. Megan, this is George Ezra, Shotgun. Is that a favourite of yours?
Well, you know, today's songs I picked from our recent travels around WA. We stayed at a lot of places in the outback, and a lot of them tend to have somebody strumming away on a guitar at night. And so this is just one that I think we were up at Lake Argyle, in fact, Bruce, up at your lake.
There you go.
And the guy who was up there was fantastic. This is one of the songs he played.
Fantastic. Enjoy.
Homegrown alligator, see you later. Gotta hit the road, gotta hit the road. The sun ain't changing the atmosphere. Architecture unfamiliar, I could get used to this. Time flies by in the yellow and green. Stick around and you'll see what I mean. There's a mountain top that I'm dreaming of. If you need me, you know where I'll be. riding shotgun underneath the hot sun, feeling like a someone. I'll be riding shotgun underneath the hot sun, feeling like a someone. South of the equator, navigator, gotta hit the road, gotta hit the road. Diving round the clock, bikini bottoms, lager tops. I could get used to this. Time flies by in the yellow and green. Stick around and you'll see what I mean. There's a mountain top that I'm dreaming of. If you need me, you know where I'll be. I'll be riding shotgun underneath the hot sun, feeling like a someone.
And you're with Bruce Argyle. Lots of exciting things coming up here on Yarra Valley FM 99.1. This morning after 11 o'clock, we have the amazing Anthony Fitzpatrick, who's the curator of the Tarawarra Museum, being interviewed by our very own Cora Zon for Art Journal. And they're going to be talking about the Slow Moving Waters exhibition, which is absolutely fantastic. Next week on the program, I have the amazing Rod McHale and Christy Sumner coming in for all the way from Warburton. And we're going to be talking about some of the exciting things that are happening in the Warburton Upper Yarra community. So stay tuned next week for that program. This morning, my special guest all the way from Kalgoorlie is Megan Buntine. And we're talking risk management and managing the challenges of our times. And we got through halfway through our list. We were talking about people risks and property and equipment lists, risks. And the next one I was going to throw at you, Megan, was financial risks for community organisations and for not-for-profits. And I suppose as I ask you that, you know, the most obvious one is losing your funding from government or something like that. But you're very active in terms of supporting community groups get funds and so on. What do you see happening in this space?
Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it? I think there's, again, a whole range of financial risks in the financial area, I guess. You know, one that springs to mind immediately for me is the risk of becoming insolvent.
Yes.
So it's really important that even for those of us who are pretty much lay people when it comes to financial, knowledge and understanding, we have to be across the solvency of our organisation. You know, at the end of the day, we've got to be able to pay our bills when they're due. So we need to make sure that we make ourselves informed enough, and whether that's sitting down and having a conversation with our treasurer, or if we're fortunate enough to have staff, having a conversation with them about, you know, explain to me how our finances are and where we sit. you know, making sure that you've got enough money to, that it could be that you've got money in the bank, but you're still not solvent because you've got a big bill coming in that you hadn't thought about and it's going to clean out your bank account. I think another key risk for our organisations is around fraud. I could tell you probably 99% of the groups that I train, when I have a training session, somebody in that group will have a horror story that they've been part of an organisation and somebody's, you know, everything from stealing paperclips to cleaning out the bank account of hundreds of thousands of dollars and skipping the country.
Sad but true, Megan.
Mm. Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, it's about how do you put put things in place, I guess, to prevent your organisation from being one of those statistics, you know. How do you... I think the fact that we deal a lot less with cash these days is a good thing, because I think oftentimes cash can be a weak point that can be a risk. You know, making sure that, you know, I think this is probably pretty standard anyway, you know, it's a requirement to have two signatories at the bank or two people.
And not signing off on payments to yourself and things like that.
Meaning, yeah, all that sort of stuff. And, you know, having more people having that sort of that transparency around what we're doing too, not just having it something that the treasurer and one other person do, all of us across the committee or the board seeing that information. We're all, at the end of the day, we're all responsible for the financial health of the organisation and we need to take that responsibility seriously. So making sure we've got good policies and procedures in place, and that doesn't have to be, you know, really complex stuff, but just making sure we've got good steps in place, good guidelines in place about how we manage our funds and how we protect them. Because our community-based organisations work damn hard, as you said, you know, getting grants, whatever the case may be, to bring those funds in there. And we're the custodians. We're the, you know, ones who are responsible for those on behalf of the rest of our organisation. So we've got a duty of care there, I guess.
Yes. We've talked about people risks, property risks, financial risks. And the last one I had on my list, Megan, was probably the point that we started at this morning, which was the external, the force majeure, as they say in the insurance policy, the unknown, you know, the thing that comes along and blows our trees down.
What
can we do? I mean, obviously you were talking about insurance a moment ago and that we shouldn't just count on insurance. Equally, we should have insurance for such things. But what for a community group, for a not-for-profit, how do they best position themselves in the face of the unknown?
Yeah, look, I think a risk register is a really good tool to use. I've got a simple template that I use. It's just a spreadsheet, basically. There's a template for that on my website that people can use. Or if you just Google risk register, you'll come up with a million different versions, I'm sure. But simply, it's just really a list. And it has, the one that I use has a number of columns on it. So in the first column, I detail really in quite specific details each individual risk, because you'll find that, you know, for example, if I say to people, okay, well, come up with a risk, they'll say, oh, the risk that somebody's injured. It's like, well, that's really not specific. That could be a whole cluster of things.
Yes.
So break it down. The more specific you get, the more detailed you get. If you can close your eyes, you can picture that thing, that hazard that's going to cause the risk that somebody is injured, it makes it so much easier to do something about it. So, for example, if there's a tear in the carpet that somebody might trip over, you've spelt that out in your risk register, what the problem is, you've basically created your own solution. Well, yeah, fix the tear.
So Megan, you're saying that's your first column. So you write down the 6 or 8 or 10 or 12 or whatever.
Or 100.
Yeah, whatever, depending on the size of your organisation and how much time you want to spend on it. But you obviously start with the most important, risks.
The first column is really just a bit of a brain dump. So you come out with everything you can think of. And then we use a risk assessment matrix to then make sense of it, to then decide, okay, well, which ones are our number one priorities? So that's where the next three columns on the risk register come in. So
tell us tell us what would be the next three columns.
Yeah, so on your risk assessment matrix, it basically looks like a table, and across the top you've got the likelihood that this is going to cause a problem, and then down the side you've got how bad it would be if it did. So you're using that to rate off those two axes how bad it is. So the first column is that likelihood where you've assessed it across the top. The what are we up to?
So likelihood could be 0 to 20%, 20 to 40%, 40 to...
Yeah, so you might say, look, it's highly unlikely, it's unlikely, it's moderately likely, or it is likely, or it's extremely likely. So I tend to go on a 5x5 matrix.
Yep, sure.
And again, I've got templates for these on the website too, or if people
Thank
have got
you.
Queries, they can email me or phone me. Probably not phone me because of the two-hour time difference. But so the second column is really spelling out where have you assessed. And look, it's a bit subjective, but at least it's something just to get you started. So assessing where do you think it is in terms of how likely is this going to eventually make something bad happening.
Yep.
Keep
going, Megan. Sorry.
I was just going to say, so then the third column is what we assess down the side of that that table, which is how bad would it be? So, okay, we've assumed that it's going to happen. Now the next step is, well, if it did happen, how bad would it be? Would it mean somebody loses their life or somebody's going to have something that we just put a Band-Aid on?
So is that what we would call impact or level of impact?
Yeah, that's right. How critical is it? And look, it may not just be in terms of an injury. If we're talking about business risks to an organisation, it might be the impact to the organisation. So the worst possible scenario might be that your organisation doesn't continue, it shuts down.
Yes.
Whereas the least impactful example could be that we've got to, write a new document, for example, to help us get through this. So it's minimal sort of impact stuff. So that's your columns 2 and 3. Then out of that, column 4 is, well, where do those two, the impact and the seriousness, where do they intersect on that table? So if you have a look at a table like that, and again, Google risk management, risk assessment matrix, you'll see a million of those too.
Yes.
But it generally, it will divide it into sort of 4 categories of priority. So red, orange, yellow, white, for example, is on the table.
Red being you really
being
should be
worst.
Doing something about it.
They're the ones that you tackle first. So that then leads you into the fifth and final column, which is what is your action? So for the reds, they're the ones, as you say, we deal with them straight away. So we've got to come up with some strategies straight away. As to how we're going to either get rid of that risk altogether, or if we can't get rid of it, how do we lessen the impact of it, and so on. So, yeah, there's plenty. Risk management is, it's not difficult, but it's quite, it can be quite involved. But I've got a really simple three-step process that I like to use, and that's really described in the risk management resources that I've got on my website. So anyone could go on there and just grab those and download it.
And I'll give listeners your website, Megan, which is www.mjbconsulting, all one word, mjbconsulting.net.au. If you want to send Megan an email, just send it to megan@mjbconsulting.net.au and she'll get back to you. But as she says, there's all sorts of resources there for you. You don't have to start from square one, but equally, this whole area of risk management, thinking, as Megan said at the beginning, planning ahead, thinking about it before it happens is the key. Megan, we've got another one of your songs. It's Riptide by Vance Joy. Is that another one you've heard in your travels?
Yes, I think that was another. I might have heard that one at the Daily Waters pub, actually.
There you go.
I was scared of dentists and the dark. I was scared of pretty girls and starting conversations. Been living on the highest shelf.
FM acknowledges the traditional owners, the Wurundjeri people, as the custodians of this land we broadcast from. We pay respects to elders past, present, and emerging.
And you're with Bruce Argyle here on Community Conversations. Wow, the time is fast going up to 10 o'clock news. Next week, I have Christy Sumner and Rod McHale are going to be talking to us. All things Warburton and Upper Yarra and so on. So make sure you join us again next Thursday morning. My very special guest this morning is Megan Buntine. You can contact Megan by sending her an email, megan@mjbconsulting.net.au, if you have any questions about what we are talking about this morning. The program will be podcast, so if you've missed it and you want to hear all about managing risk, then I would encourage you to have a look at our website and do that. This morning after 9 o'clock, Cora is going to be interviewing Anthony Fitzpatrick, the curator of the Tarawarra Museum. They're going to be talking about Slow Moving Waters, the current exhibition. So make sure you stay on the line for 11 o'clock this morning. Megan, all the way from Kalgoorlie, I hope you're travelling well. I hope you do eventually get back into South Australia and they let you back into Victoria. It's a bit ironic, isn't it, at the moment that anybody can come into Victoria after the weeks and weeks and months of lockdown that we've had over the last 15 months. So
yes, it is.
Very, very ironic. We began this morning by talking about we were going to take a risk. I said tongue-in-cheek, and we can't mitigate all risk. But one of the things I really like about your approach to it, Megan, is that we have to plan for it. We have to think about it beforehand. So it's not just an ad hoc when it happens kind of approach. And I know you do lots of, well, you mentioned training, but you also do a lot of strategic planning for organisations. And do you see risk in the context of strategic planning for organisations? Is that an integral part of it, Megan?
Yeah, I do. And particularly for smaller community organisations, because often, you know, if you can get them across the line to do planning once, you've done well. So it's like, rather than, I think about, you know, some boards that I've sat on, bigger organisations, you know, we have like certainly our strategic overall planning approach. There's an element of risk into that, but it's almost like our risk management planning has got a life of its own in those sorts of bigger organisations or working for government or whoever. But I think with our smaller community-based organisations, when I do that planning with them, it's like we need to capture all of this, guys, so we need to build that into your plan as well. So, you know, commonly I see sustainability, financial sustainability as a big thing that comes up for community-based organisations. So if we're planning through the strategic plans to, you know, putting the organisation in a good financial position, that's risk management, isn't it? So it does. It all ties back into that, certainly.
We might, I'm going to put you on the spot in a moment, Megan, and just get you to perhaps share a story or two about organisations that you've worked with that have done a good job in this space of managing risks. But before we go there, is part of what you're talking about now, are we talking about the old SWOT method, the strength, weakness, opportunities and threats? Is that part of this whole process?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that some people think the good old squat's getting a bit passe, but I still like it because it's really simple. And some people sort of shy away from the W and the T, the weaknesses and the threats. And I think in some ways that's being a bit Pollyanna-ish. You need to acknowledge the things that could go wrong or the things that are currently not great about your organisation, so those weaknesses and those threats. And if you acknowledge them and think about them and put some plans into place, you're better positioned to stop them from tripping you up, aren't you? So I think it's certainly the SWOT does feed into. It's part of that brain dump that I was talking about earlier in regards to your risk register. That's where you get that information from, part of where you get the information from.
Megan, I am putting you on the spot, but I thought just to round out the program this morning, what about a good story and a bad story? What about an organisation that you have worked with, without perhaps mentioning the name, where things have gone horribly wrong because they didn't manage risk well, and conversely, something where it has worked? And Megan, I just realised we've only got about a minute, so we might not even have time for both of those. Just give us one story. I'm looking.
I'll give you the good news story.
There you go.
Because I think we can all come up with bad news stories. Look, I think as much as people think that you know, working for government and public servants are all lazy and all the rest of it, in my time working for government, I didn't see very many lazy public servants, I have to say, and risk management was a big part of what we had to do there. So being involved in that process, I think, gave me a really good grounding for how to do risk management well.
Terrific. I've cut you off there because I can't believe we've run out of time. We're having so much fun there. Listeners, thank you so much for joining us. Megan, safe travels all the way from WA. We hope you get home eventually from Kalgoorlie.
Thank you.
And listeners, thanks so much for being a part of the program this morning. I have missed being on air these past few weeks. Wonderful to start the new financial year, 1st of July, for all the accountants, all the bookkeepers, all the vineyard pruners out there that are starting the cycle all over again. Happy 2021, 2022. And aren't the years flying by? Megan, thanks for zooming in at some unearthly hour in WA. I reckon you must be pretty early over there.
It's 8 o'clock in the morning. It's a beautiful day, so it's good to get going early.
Terrific. Safe travels. Listeners, please join us again same time next week. Thank you for your company. And if you have missed part of the program this morning, please have a look at our podcast. It'll be up there in a few days. Thanks to our amazing producer, Cora Zon, and we'll talk to you next week.